Are we recording?
Yes.
Cool.
cool.
We are, we're back, we're here, we are, happy Friday.
Happy every day.
Happy Friday.
Hey everybody. It's, oh, did I, let's just run with it.
Hello. My name is Mauro.
And I'm Dan.
And this is, Cool Animal People. A very cool, thing that we're talking about today.
Well,
to
and a
very
cool,
cool animal person. From all the way.
Seoul, South Korea.
How far is that?
Far. It's pretty far.
I'm going to Google it.
How far from NYC to Seoul? All
right. 6,863
miles.
It says 6,864 miles.
I can tell you it's like a 13-hour flight.
Okay, 13-hour flight. Someone joined us in this podcast from Seoul, South Korea.
Yeah, we're international.
From 7,000 miles away. It was 7:30 in the morning when we started recording there. 6:30 here.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful human being.
Yeah.
With a fantastic product to talk about. Andrew Gill, the
co-founder and CEO of Pet Pulse.
Of Pet Pulse. PETPULS for audio. Video, you have it right here. It is a dog collar that can interpret your dog's emotions. Not a dog translator.
Very, very important that you recognize that.
Please,
it's not a dog translator.
This is going to be in the show notes, probably in the title. And we're telling you now, it is not a dog translator. We don't want to get any emails saying, actually, yeah, email us.
At animals@danspetcare.com.
It is not a dog translator. It is a dog collar that interprets dog emotions.
But it's so much more.
So much more than that. It blew me away. I thought that's all we were going to be talking about. Halfway through the podcast, he threw a curveball at us.
So you have to listen.
Yeah. No, this is no, for real. He started talking about amazing applications to, you know, everyday life. And it really, you know,
I think
me for a ride.
The big thing that really resonated with me with this conversation was he cares. Like this product comes from a place of caring. It's not a gimmicky, oh, look at this. It tells you what you're, no. This team really cares about what they're building, and they have a long-term vision for some really, really incredible applications.
They've been at it for 3 years.
Yeah, they've been featured all over the place, I think. Let's see.
Let's not give too much away, but yes.
Wired, Entrepreneur,
Reuters,
Fox News, Reuters, People Magazine, you name
CES
it, they've been
2021.
There. They were one of the innovation honorees.
So it's legit, and it's
super
a very
legit.
Cool product and a super fun conversation, and honestly, if you love technology and you love dogs,
this is right up your alley.
So take a listen to us talking to Andrew Gill.
Enjoy. Welcome. We are here with the famous Andrew Gill, co-founder and CEO of Pet Pulse, inventor of the most amazing piece of technology.
Such a cool little gadget.
I think.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
How's it going, Andrew?
Hello. Good morning and good evening for you. I'm pretty good. Yep. Thank you.
For those of you listening and watching, Andrew is in Seoul, South Korea right now, which is right now is 7:30 in the morning.
You guys are what, 13 hours ahead?
That's right. It's a 7:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Beautiful. See, we're wrapping up and you're just getting started.
That's right.
So, Andrew, just to start off, I'd love to get a little bit of, you know, our listeners a little background about who you are and, you know, what you've been doing.
Yes, I'm actually from Pet Pulse, and I'm in charge of leading global campaign to spread this good news to the people who really love dogs. It was a new product and a new technology. About 3 years ago, Pet Pulse actually had an assignment from the government, and then with the government funding. And then one of the assignments that nobody actually interested in was looking into the dog's vocal analysis.
Wow.
And we are a small company. We got that. And then that was the beginning of this project. And then eventually we worked with Seoul National University and developed this algorithm. But even before that, me and a co-founder and CEO, Stella, and in our team, we are the people who love dogs. We are dog loving people. And then we really want to communicate with the dog. We want to know more about the dog. We want to know how they feel about us as well. So that's the starting point. And then we decided to, okay, if they speak, they bark, why not? We just want to go in there and then figure it out. That's the beginning of this project.
That's like
so cool. I've always, that's like the age old question. Like, does that dog like me?
Yeah.
Like do you like me? Do you like me? And they, you know, they can't tell us. So it's really interesting that you said you worked with the Seoul National University to come up with an algorithm to determine what barks mean.
That's right. Actually, we got the, it was, as I said, it was a kind of a research project. And then what we did was that we tried to collect bark samples. So we collect about like a 10,000 bark samples.
Wow.
And then we tried to compare with them. And then we kind of study about the pitch, tone, space. And usually dog sounds, you know, comes with specific frequencies. And then we want to try to figure out what frequencies, what features of this sound going to be assigned with specific emotions. So it was in the beginning pretty hard, very tedious work. But once we get a categories and then assignment, and then we have some sort of a mathematical equation for the algorithm, then yes. So National University, the team, especially expert in voice, we team up together and then we eventually developed that. And then we had a validation test as well. And then the accuracy rate currently, it's probably around like 90%.
Wow.
Or little less than 90%. Well, it depending on the who's actually saying about this.
Yeah.
But we are pretty sure that it's more than, safely saying that more than 80% to 90% accuracy rate right now.
So I'm actually super curious about that. So, you know, I've been working with dogs like my entire life, and I like to think that I know what the, what their emotional state is. Mm. One, with the bark samples, did you guys also track their body language as well alongside? Was that part of like the data collection?
That's in our plan as well. The reason, our goal is that we want to know more about the dog, and then by knowing more about them, and then we could be even strengthening our bonding with dog, because in that goal, yes, you know, other aspects of dog's life certainly come into our algorithm as well, like a body language. You know, if dog is like happy, then usually people know that there is like a wag the tails in high speed, and then lower their body down from the waist to the tail. You know, there is a movement there, so that's the sign of happiness. We all dog scientists or a behavior, you know, specialist actually saying that there is a particular dog body and even body movement can be assigned to the emotion. At the same time, like a facial expressions as well. So those will coming in too in our system as well. But currently we are hearing the voice.
Yeah.
But you want to have that, bring that into our algorithm, then it will require also advanced technology, because we need to watch dog. We need to get a camera. That's something else. But we are getting there. We are open to any collaboration. For example, we are planning to have a sort of a we call it Pepper's Hub. That's a station. Mm-hmm. This device can be connected with the CCTV and security people, health professional, and then when there is some sort of alarm coming through our voice recognition system, and then owner's app with our Pepper's app, then we could turn on the camera. You know, we cannot watch 24 hours for the camera watching the dog, but there is an alarm, there's a notice, then we could turn on the camera, we could watch them, and then that also that kind of information can be shared with the other necessary organization, and then we could look after them safety wise and protection wise. That's the community that we think of right now, and it starts from the Peppers.
Yeah, it's definitely such a cool concept to be able to, at least, you know, I feel like you guys are just kind of scratching the beginning of this, because there's so much that you can do. You know, first you get to the emotional response. I feel like there's so much more that you guys can learn with this. What's your goal with this product? Like, what is like the end goal with what you guys are trying to eventually do here?
Our goal is that we want to build a village. We want to build a community of pet loving people all together. I know that there is already community and there is already tons of people who love the dog. But what we try to present to the world is that actually paradigm has been shifted. Meaning is that the services and care that we give to the dog is actually starting from our perspective, our understanding about dog. We assume, we guess, and then we believe that, oh, dog is happy. Maybe dog is hungry.
Right.
Or maybe dog is in danger. But what we try to say that now the paradigm has been shifted. Dog will tell us first how they feel, and then we respond to them. So dog will tell us that, okay, I'm angry. What are you guys doing? You know, that's the message that we're receiving. Yeah. And then we look at them. Oh, he's angry. She's angry. Okay, I'm going to go, and then I'm going to give you a treat. Don't be mad at me. So it's like a dog initiate, but with this vocalization, this bark sound, and then a bark sounds analyzed, and then that also convey the message from the dog with emotion, then we will respond to them. So it's a dog starting, dog initiating community, not human being initiating community. That's the community that we define a little different from previous ones.
I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, when you have a pet, you know, in general, there's a lot of guessing that goes on.
That's right.
I love dogs, but my girlfriend and I have a cat, and he has two types of meows. There's one that's really high, and there's one that's really medium. The medium is I want attention. The high one is I'm hungry. We figure that out just by you know, observing him and seeing what he wants. You have been doing that with thousands of dogs, I'm guessing dozens of breeds, different breeds, just to get a higher sample. So this is an artificial intelligence device. So the more people use it, the smarter it will get, collecting more samples and eventually build that community that you're talking about.
That's right. That's correct. So we start from the 10,000 dog bark sample, but within this year, we want to collect 1 million bark sound.
That's a jump.
Yeah, I mean, because our device, just imagine that our device is, you know, we have a goal of manufacturing goal of our device and then globally distributing this in this year. Once we have that numbers are on user's hand, and then dog bark, we calculate that dog barks less than 1 hour throughout the day. Dog usually kind of stay rest or stay still or kind of not saying anything, silent, content. But when it's like a 14 to, or sleeping, like a 14 to 16 hours per day. But once dog bark, it's a sign that they'll try to do something. They'll try to express something. But this less than 1 hour barking time, dogs send, multiple bark sound. It could be 10, could be 20, could be 30. So we are gathering all these bark sound from our device. That sound comes to our main server in Korea. It will be saved, and then it will be analyzed, and then there is some samples will be collected, and then it goes to algorithm, and then we are going to deep learning, and then it's come back to the also apply to the other dog bark sounds as well. So it's like a back and forth. So once we have 1 million bark sound, I guess it's pretty much like they will do their thing. So we're going to put some of the variables as well. You know, we already start with 50 different breeds. Of course, like 35 pure breed plus like about 15 mixed breed. The breed wise, it's endless. There's tons of mixed breed. We cannot count them all.
Yeah.
But we were going to be expanding on that. And then there's an age consideration. There is a size. Like we have four different sizes coming in there as well. Like a baby, like, you know, small and medium size, and then big dog. And then the weight and height. So those things are already reflected in our algorithm. So more information we have, more accurate analysis will be coming out. So by the right now it's just starting, but by the end of this year, I hope that, and we all in our team hope that this is a really meaningful device for any industry that actually related to the dog.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I have one question actually before we go, because I want to talk about the app. But in terms of the data, have you guys seen any interesting or kind of like odd trends pertaining to the emotional states of like a particular breed? Like, has there been any sort of consistencies, like, you know, golden retrievers are always happy, or German shepherds are always kind of like paying attention to look at what's going on? Have you seen anything that kind of like ties back to what people assume about a certain breed of dog?
Right. I think it's a breed. At the same time, it's a context as well. We see that. That's why right now I'm saying that it's more likely about 80 to 90% accuracy rate.
Yeah.
Because breed has some features, and a breed bark sound may be a little bit different. The frequency is a little different. Those things are all coming in right now. We are studying about that. And then that's why we bring into a dog behavior specialist. We have vets in our group as well. So that's in the process. But we believe that at this point, the bark sound is more of universal language for the dog. But eventually there is a segmentation about this will come. But at the same time, we are adding the features. For example, we updated home and away feature, that meaning that dog barks sound similar, but it's different when the owner is with the dog or without the dog. So
that's cool.
Those things are something we could develop more. At the same time, and a dog is sometimes it's cultured, educated, or trained in a certain context. In Korean or Asian country, the people are living in a small apartment complex. Dog is not much. It's not really like an outdoor dog.
Yeah.
They are trained not to speak, not to bark.
Mm-hmm.
And that is educated. It's not natural. But the dogs in the United States or like Australia, it's pretty much outdoor dog. They need to go out. They just play around. And then we are thinking that, okay, they're still barking. And then is there any difference about these two barks? But our sample comes from all the Glover. I will dispatch our staff members to collect the dog bark sound individually, physically. But at the same time, we get the dog bark sound from the YouTube or other video clips and whatnot. So we're basically approaching this as a universal language. But these differences, yes, of course, play an important role as this project getting more serious.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see like if trends emerge. You know how like with whales,
they have
different dialects around the world. It'd be interesting to see if dogs have accents. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like different ways of speaking.
Well, it is a
like
universal
that.
Language. I mean, dogs talk to each other. They communicate to each other. As far as we know, but that universal language between dog to dog is.
But what if it's different from
no, that's
France
what I'm saying.
To here?
A dog from South Korea could not be able to communicate with a dog from New York.
Maybe.
You don't know.
That's why we are saying that we're not going to translate dog bark into the language. Once dog is a bark, war, and it does not mean that I'm hungry. So we are focusing on basic emotional status, at least dog probably, because, the dogs in Korea, probably they're trained in Korean language, right?
Right.
They
yeah.
need to re-educate it once this dog goes to United States and to be a police dog. And then there's everything is in English. They need to re-educate it, right? So that's a human language part. But emotion part-wise, I think when they bark, it will be, we assume, we also discovered that, it's a sort of a common ground for the dogs to communicate.
That's pretty cool. So in terms of the app, so is it available for Android and iOS?
Yes, that's correct. It's currently available with Android and iOS.
So it, the way it works, I'm assuming, so the, you know, the user gets the device, they, you know, they put the collar on the dog, they download the app, and then so the device is, you know, collecting the data of the barks. Is it, so it's getting processed, it gets uploaded to the servers, and then it comes back. Like, how quick is that turnaround? Is it like I hear my dog barking in the room and I could see it on the app, or is it a little bit of processing time?
Okay, it's once dog bark was recorded and transmitted to our main server, and then analyze it, and then it comes back to owner's app in the cell phone, usually takes 7 to 8 seconds.
Wow.
that's what is happening here. But we had a beta test in the States. In the beginning, it took longer than that. And then our devices set a certain time. Once the data didn't come or didn't go, like a transmission time is over the time that we set, then it's like an infinite loop. And then eventually, lost the data. So we reset before we go into the global distribution. And we meaning that we need to strengthen the computer clouding, the platform as well, other thing. But I just want to make sure that currently this device is considered as a home IoT device, meaning that this device need to be connected home Wi-Fi. At this time, it's a 2.4 gigahertz frequencies, and then the router should have that function, and it has to change it to that. Without that, it's not gonna be attached with home Wi-Fi. And then also app, you need to download, and then the app also need to be connected with the device as well. So once that provisioning process is set, and then they're fully functioning in the house, then what about, dog is outdoor, just go out there and play. There is a tailoring process, some of the things we could think of it, but it's a little bit inconvenient. But dog's out there, and then even though, this home IoT device, it's out of the home, then it's not going to work in terms of a connection-wise, right? But still voice that is recorded, activity tracker also save the this activity information as well. Then once come back again at home, automatically connected with the home Wi-Fi, and then sending data to us. Then it will come back to the owner's cell and the app in cell phone, and then still get like a meaningful data, like less than 10 seconds.
So you can go on a walk, be without Wi-Fi, the collar will still be collecting data. Once you get back home, that data is uploaded.
Yes, that's currently. What it is. Area that actually we need to develop more with other technology as well. That we're working hard on that right now.
That's what my next question was going to be. Do you guys plan on having like it being a cellular device where it can be out in the world, kind of similar to, what is there, Fi, Halo, there's all these other dog collars
out there.
I'm guessing that's the long-term plan is that this can also have GPS tracking and things like that.
I think currently there is a GPS trackers or also health trackers out there, and then they could collect and send in the data while out there. The problem with this voice file is that voice file usually heavy, and then it takes a time, it takes a battery, and then so it's a little. These are a little bit of a different category. You're sending like, text message like from GPS. It's easier process, but the voice file you're sending actually, 2 giga,
it's heavy file.
2 gig movie file to us. Yeah. So that's why, it's safer to say that it's a home IoT at this point out there, kind of a utilizing network outside the home and then attach it like, those things are a little bit tougher at this point. Yes, we will work on that. And then actually in Korea, some of, network companies like a Verizon in America, once the pet industry is big enough in Korea, and then of course they were providing some sort of, suitable, and then reliable connection at the cheaper price for us, then definitely we could ride on that as well.
Absolutely. You mentioned it has an activity tracker. I feel like we didn't go into detail about that. It can track your dog's exercise, right?
That's right. that activity tracker is actually based on the calorie consumption calculation. There, you know, dog is, you know, how fast the dog move, and then how, you know, long, you know, dog is moving around, playing around, and then all those activities calculated based on the calorie consumption. So, and then each breed has a certain level of calorie, recommended calorie consumption level per day, and then a week and a month. And then because we already in the profile section, there is a dog breeds information there. So based on that, there is a certain recommendation coming out. So that's the activity tracker. If dog is kind of sit still, lay down for too long hours, then, you know, it shows that, okay, it's time to go out and take a walk or something. So that's
time to get up.
It sounds like a great way, though, to help people make sure that their pets are getting, one, enough exercise, but it could be like a weight management thing. So if they know how many calories that they need, that's a great way to make sure that your dog's staying at a good, healthy weight. Cause, you know, at least, you know, over here, we see dog obesity is huge.
Right. It is a problem. Yeah.
Pun intended. There there are a lot of dogs that are very overweight. It definitely sat like, actually, one of the things I was thinking about. So, you know how there are dogs that can detect seizures and things like that before they happen. Have you guys thought about the potential application for things like that? So if you've got a dog that's a service dog that's working with somebody who maybe has epilepsy or some sort of, you know, disability, and that dog has a particular bark or emotional response they're trained to have.
All right.
Is this something that you guys can kind of have we're registering that this dog is delivering this bark, there's a potential seizure coming, and then notifying people as kind of like an emergency medical response system?
Oh, I love to hear that. Actually, that is in our plan as well.
Nice.
Good at business.
That's it's an idea because you said so. I just want to talk about this a little bit.
Absolutely.
That. It's a social impact program that we are developing right now. In Korean context, there is an old generation, like over 80s, maybe with some of the physically limited in this situation. And then they even cannot pick up the phone, or, you know, they can do even, you know, like some people who are blind, some people who are not speaking well.
Yeah.
Or we are thinking that working with the government agencies, train the dog, and then provide that dog to that types of household. So that what is good thing about this device that, you know, I always emphasize that this device can work for emergency situation, because when dog is in danger, this is a real story. One of our younger user, like a late 20, working in the office, she has a dog, but she left the dog alone at home. And then once she got the emotional tracker saying that, like more than like 5 or 10 minutes, like constant. It's a dog usually bark and quiet, and then come back again, bark, and then quiet. That's the kind of routine, and then we don't have to worry about that too much. But this time, dog is like barking continuously, and with the emotion of frustration and sadness and anger. She took a notice that, something might happen. So she asked her friend to check the dog out there, and then when she checked the dog, and this dog actually made an accident all over the place at home. So, eventually dog was brought to the vet's office, and then dog's life was saved. This is a case that we are thinking that, okay, now dog is sending really big signals in here. Once we set up some sort of the features there, like a danger or a caution alarming system, and then this device with this device was dispatched to a certain home, and then people cannot communicate with the agencies and authority, but dog bark sound can be transferred to us, and then there's a like angry sound, like more than 10 minutes, maybe intruders breaking into the house. And then there is a frustration and sadness, more than 10 minutes, probably something happened to the owner in that house. And then we could go there and check, maybe police office or doctor's office or safety, security people go there and check, and then maybe save a human's life, maybe save dog's life or neighbor's life. Absolutely, yeah. So that's what we're thinking, and then try to figure out how we work with the government agencies or even local organizations. That's we are pondering right now.
I love that application.
Yeah, that application would be extremely, extremely useful.
And impactful, too.
Impactful, too. Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
That's some pretty cool stuff. So in terms of where are you guys at right now? So the product is, it's live. I know you guys were back ordered, right? We were actually looking.
Right now, yes. Yes. Actually, the first batch of our device was shipped. Today we'll be shipping today.
Oh wow!
Congratulations!
Perfect timing. Happy Friday!
Yeah. Right to U.S. because we promise that the those who purchase our device, we make sure that we're gonna shipping by March 31st, and then the buyers will have that device at least the first week of April. So that's what we tried, and then we are almost there. We are a small company. The reason why we attended CES is that we want to share, we want to introduce our idea. We had such a welcoming feedback from them. And then they tried to order. You know, to be honest with you, we didn't expect that. And we didn't manufacture this device that many. So we'll say that, thank you very much. But this is all we have. Another problem that we have, we are working with a manufacturing company. We set the goal of 40,000 units in this year. Mm-hmm. Problem is that the parts in the device now skyrocketing. It's like a triple expensive.
Yeah, there's such the chip shortage right now is making any sort of like IoT production quite difficult.
Right, that you correctly explained that. I really appreciate that you said so. Because if I say so, then probably people are saying that, okay, that's the excuse, but you saying so.
We're into technology and all this, and like we saw this product before we reached out. Like we knew about this product, and products like these just excite us because we just love gadgets. We love technology. And to hear that all this research went into it and this whole process went into this product, I'm excited. I want to try it out.
I also love the fact that it's not a gimmicky product. Like you guys are, you know, you're working with, you know, veterinarians, you're working with universities, you guys are developing real effective and efficient algorithms to be able to take this data and analyze it. And it's because I think I'd be curious, actually, what the overall... I've seen you guys have gotten a ton of press. You know, Wired, Fox News, Entrepreneur, Reuters, yeah. People, Dogster, all everywhere. And so it looks like, you know, people love the idea. But I think the first thing that a lot of people who just hear about it are like, you know, why do I need to hear, you know, what my dog's emotions are? What has the overall response been so far?
Before CES, once we introduced this idea, probably 70 or 80% saying that, no way, that's not true. You're funny guys, you know. And then after CES, probably half and half. Now, you know, half of people, they're excited. They want to test it out. They want to have it. Half of people, not really negative, but they're suspicious. So, but what we are trying to say is that we are not saying that this is perfect. This is we are always saying that this is the beginning, and also we want to collaborate because we cannot do everything. So anyone who loves dogs, we could try to figure out for example like CCTVs or algorithm-wise or like a medical aspect. So as I just briefly commented, we're gonna when we build a Pepper's H, which is a Pepper's hub, and then we're gonna add it to a medical aspect as well because we're gonna urine test going to be in that station, there is a CCTV gonna go in there, and then dog toys and those things are going in there as well. So usually you bring the dog to the hospital, two tests you will be done, like a urine test and blood work. And at least a urine test, it can be done at home. And then that information, like in real time, shared with your designated doctor's office. And then And then the doctor's office, you see that, you know, oh, there's just something happened. Okay, yeah. This dog has too much sugar in, you know, urine or whatever they say. And then bring her to my office, you know. So without we recognize and realize there is a problem, it's like a science itself actually tell us that there might be a problem. That we could be proactively react to that, and then preventive, you know, actions we could take. And then at that, we believe that make a dog's life a little bit more healthier.
Oh, yeah.
And happier.
Yeah, and then safer and happier.
Yeah.
I really love the urinalysis portion, because, I mean, like, that's indicative of so many potential issues. Cushing's, diabetes, there's so many different things that can go wrong. I'm going to want to talk to you about this afterwards, because I have some ideas that I've been working on, so we might have something to work on together. Okay. But that, I think... it's so cool seeing that this is, you know, like you're saying, this is just the beginning.
It's literally the beginning.
There is, I think people see like, oh, it's a dog collar that tells emotion. Like, you guys are just scratching the surface. There's so much cool stuff. Are you guys partnered with any other companies right now? Like, where are you guys at in terms of the growth of the business?
Yes, that's we are a small company. That's why we are trying to look for you know our partners and investors and joining in to grow us together. And then in Korea, we are in that stage as well. And then we hope that in sooner time, and then in US and globally, you know, you join together to work together. So yes, we are looking. We are welcome. Any suggestions in terms of investment wise and collaboration wise? There's a couple of companies like animal health companies, global animal health company, or dog food company, the one of the biggest one. There are interest in our product as well. So we are in the conversation right now.
Beautiful. I was actually thinking this would be a great product for pet insurance companies to get behind, because if you do things that are going to be preventative and you're going to, you know, catch an issue before a dog gets seriously injured at home when you're not there, that's going to save them money at the end of the day.
I think that's
a huge opportunity for the pet insurance industry. I just think, you know, the people that aren't seeing what the potential is for this product, you know, their eyes are covered.
They think it's like, okay, I'm going to say hello to this dog and it's going to say hello back. And I'm going to know that he said hello back because it translates. No, it's not a translator. It's just analyzing the emotion and letting you know what the dog feels at that moment. It's not saying, hello, how are you? You know,
right.
I feel like we have to explain that to people.
That's correct. Right. Thank you very much for pointing out that. You know, that's the misunderstanding that I will get frequently from the people. But from the beginning, I will say that this is not a translator. We cannot speak the same language, or we cannot translate.
Correct.
We could, like, you know, we could create some sort of chatbot system saying that, you know, more information, just assuming that more information is available about this bark sound, maybe you could give some sort of potential interpretations, like this bark meaning, you know, like a 10 list, you know,
I'm going to
go out pee. Yeah, feed me. But it's not like a direct translation.
Right.
At this stage, I think it's not possible. But emotion... at least we could figure it out.
Do you think, I know there is another company that just, I think they just raised I'm blanking on the name, but they just raised, I think it was like $8 million for technology to translate what a dog is thinking. Do you think that, I think obviously, like, you know, we're only limited by the technology of today. Do you think that this is something that you guys as a company would look to do eventually? Because I'm sure over, you know, a span of 3, 4, 5 years and you get full market penetration globally, you're going to really be able to collect a really huge set of data. Do you think this is something that eventually you guys will be able to implement?
We have a vision to get there, but it's to us, it's more like we're going to the Mars, you know.
Yeah.
I guess translate. We need to define translation first. What the translate meaning in this kind of a context? I really hope that we could get there in a sooner time. But I just said that at this stage it's not possible, but I'm not saying that it's definitely impossible, because we have more data coming in, and then there is that's why we're saying that it's a dog is sometimes trained and educated, and that there is a trained as react or respond to in certain ways. Mm-hmm. Language can be taught to the dog. In that area, we are probably going there, but we need to build up some sort of more fundamental, understanding about this process. But if anyone who says that right now we could translate dog bark into the human language, I'm not sure.
It's something I think eventually, who knows, 10, 15 years from now, if it's
that's
possible.
Right. And I hope that we are one of them.
I hope
Disney
I hope
already
did too.
It and Pixar and Up.
They did. I think I even saw something from Amazon saying dog translators are eventually coming. But so that's amazing. So what are you just shipped to the US, right? The first batch. What can we expect this to be in retail soon? What does that look like? I'm sure you guys are, manufacturing is tough right now, but
right. So at this stage, it's a very small amount of devices being manufactured right now because of the current situation, especially with this COVID pandemic situation.
Oh, absolutely.
All factories in Asian country, even in Korea, they close it down or reduce. And that's why LG and Samsung, they have such a tough time to get those chips right now as well. Second half of the year will be much better shape in terms of distribution wise. So we kind of strategically said that, okay, the first half of this year, we want to build a distribution distributorship. Globally, so we could designate certain companies or certain agencies who could work with us, and then we share the vision together. And then what we want to do really in the first half of this year, or by September or not, we want to build a community that the device, like about 500 devices spread out. Maybe we could work with the Humane Society or dog shelter or other people, community, kind of spread out this device, like 500. And then we're going to build a community from there. So the app, this device, and then also service providers, like, dog walkers, and then doctor's office, and then, even fashion, beauty, hotel, dog food, dog restaurant, those things are all come together in our app. And and so those who have this device and their family actually share this information, and then you communicate each other centering around this device and app. And then in that way, really building a certain community there. So we're thinking of one city in terms of, starting this project. And then see how it goes. Device, I think we still, it's going to be, the shortage of the device, it continues. I think at least the first half of this year. So manufacturing, we just discussed with the manufacturing company. I just want to say that our goal is that 40,000 units. That's it. We cannot make that more than that. And then even that 40,000 unit is like a second half of this year.
I'm not sure that's tough. Nice. Yeah,
it is tough.
Yeah. So I'm really sorry that there is a lot of interest and demand for this device, but we cannot meet the demand. Individually, probably at the local store, not yet.
Okay. It's a good problem that you guys have, though.
Yeah, it's a great problem.
You got people knocking down the door trying to get their hands on the product. That's
exclusive.
A great thing. Yeah.
It's an exclusive product.
and then we hope that this small batch of device, and then users actually are using that. And then we want to really get feedback from them as well. How they feel about it. And then, I consider them, they are very brave people. And then... we could communicate, and then once they buy this device, then they're our family, and then And then we share common things, same thing. We love dog. That's it. And then with that passion, we slowly kind of, build and then sharpening our device and see how it goes.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you've got plenty more iterations coming down the pipeline for sure.
This is so interesting because, the user-generated data, I mean, the more people have this device, the better data mm-hmm. you're going to have. In 2 years, you could have a completely different device that's just 20 times smarter and more accurate. And I feel like that's really exciting.
Yes, so we hope that.
I see your is this your adorable dog on your LinkedIn photo?
Yeah, Isil.
So I would be. So have you, I'm assuming you've been using this at home with. What, is it a boy or girl?
Boy.
Well, have you been using it at home with him?
Yes, of course.
How has it impacted your relationship with him? Have you has it changed things a little bit?
He's the boss now.
I love that.
Yeah. Without that device, it's more like I'm giving what I want to give,
Yeah.
It changed it. And then, I'll just tell you, yes. So his name is Isil. Mm-hmm. He was a rescued dog. He was rescued from the, some other horrible place. Once in the beginning, there's just some traumatic, from a traumatic experience, he behaved a little bit weird, but now it's, way settled down. Yes, it is. He's pretty obvious. I mean, he's very blunt. if he's angry, then he said angry. And then I need to find out how mitigate his feeling, sometimes treats are not working, sometimes petting is not working, hugging is not working because he's just I don't want to talk to you, so it's a learning process for me. That's why I'm saying that a paradigm gonna be shifted with this device.
That's really cool.
You gotta learn how to bark back at the same frequency.
Almost, I feel like almost there. Yes, I need to, I need to learn his language, a barking language, to communicate with him. So, yes, it changed, and then it will continue. But ultimately, the love, bonding. It has been getting strengthened. That's for sure.
Yeah, I feel like, especially for somebody who maybe, Moore and I, we professionally work with animals, so we're around them all day long. So I feel like we're, somewhat educated and understand how their body language
I'm scared
barks.
That I'm this device is going to be
wrong.
This device is going to tell me that I know nothing about my dog.
But I also feel like for pet parents out there who do want to know, but maybe it's their first dog or they don't know. I feel like this technology can strengthen that bond so much more because when because sometimes if a dog's barking, you're like, I don't know what you want. Do you
exactly.
want to go outside? Yeah. Are you upset? Are you nervous? Are you hungry? Mm. But being able to kind of connect that, I think it's going to. Maybe especially this might even be great for rescue dogs because if they're very stressed out and you could just detect their emotional state and see, all right, what's triggering this? I think it could reduce there's just so many great applications for this stuff. Right. I think I'm excited to see where you guys are going with this.
Yes, I'm really excited. That's why we're saying that, this device can be applied to any pet, like a dog-related industry and service professionals. We will gladly open our arms and then work with them, like a rescue, police, social organizations and, whatever, and at home as well. Yes, we'll see how it goes.
This is cool. So let me just, for the listeners and the viewers, if you want to check it out, it's petpulse.net, PETPULS.net. Can they pre-order? Can they still place orders through the website?
Right now, yes. Our introductory price is this device is going to be over end of this month, but still they could buy. But it does not mean that we could ship right away.
Right.
We could take the order, And then we calculate in a certain time, okay, we need to order, we need to manufacture like 500 devices more, 1,000 devices more. So once that second batch is ready, then we're shipping. So we're going to we're creating a schedule for them, those who buy the product. And then as planned, we were shipping. But yes, they could still order.
Awesome.
Yeah,
cool.
We definitely want to check this product out.
This is cool.
Like as soon as I saw the article, I was like, all right, I gotta find him on LinkedIn. I gotta talk to him. I need to know about this.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we communicate with the LinkedIn.
Yeah, so Andrew, thank you so much for coming on. We're gonna put everything in the show notes. We really appreciate this. And honestly, I think this product is going to have this is massive potential to help a lot of people and a lot of animals. I
and
think
it's
you
just
guys
the beginning.
Yeah, you've created something that has potential for massive impact, I think, and we're looking forward to seeing that.
Thank you very much. We certainly hope so too.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
All right, thank you.